Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 9:21 British Summer Time. Today is May 22nd. Today we've had a key day reversal on the S&P 500, and the Dow Jones has pulled back very sharply, and the Nasdaq as well. Now, perhaps the most pivotal point in the day was that Fed Chairman Mr. Bernanke told us that they are going to leave the quantitative easing in the system for a while longer, but that they are monitoring it and that they're going to react to the economic outlook, and that they've seen some improvement in the unemployment figures. And they're signaling that if the news gets better, they'll start to tail back the accommodation. And adding additional liquidity and reducing the absolute total are two different subjects entirely. Nobody's talking about the removal of quantitative easing. What they're talking about is potentially reducing the amount of additional liquidity that they're adding into the market. Actually reducing the total amount of liquidity out there is another step, and that would probably not occur until we have self-sustaining growth that has become established. But what this has given clarity to is the way that the Fed is thinking about this issue. And we have had such a remarkable rally in risk assets. And the S&P is a good example, because before today, it had rallied for 20 of the last 24 sessions. It's become more than 10% overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. The consistency of the advance over the last 2 months has been rivetingly consistent. Reactions of between 40 and 60 points, one above another, and we've had such a persistent rally that, at a minimum, we're due for another one of these little reactions, and that, if it does do that, then we're going to see prices come back down towards the 1600 area. Now, today's downside key day reversal is quite clear on the chart. It went to a new high intraday, and it closed below the low of yesterday's low, or yesterday's close. So that means that, from a technical perspective, if we see follow through tomorrow, it would confirm a peak of at least near-term significance. If we see prices pulling back below 1600, then the argument for a mean reversion being underway will be pretty much made. And considering that we have had these overbought conditions developing on so many markets, then the potential that other markets are going to roll over tomorrow and pull back additionally is relatively high in here, and not least those in Europe. And I think that when we look at any market that is overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, the potential for a consolidation at a minimum of recent gains has increased really quite substantially, and some are going to pull back more than most. In other asset classes, US Treasuries were weaker today by a full point, and that was on the 30-year, and the 10-year was weaker by 22 ticks. And that sees the 10-year yield pushing back above the 2% area. And 2% is a bit of a psychological barrier, and 2.1% would break the short-term progression of lower rally highs, and 2.5% would take out the highs from earlier this year. And we start getting up to that level, then people will really start to think about the integrity of the bull market. And not least if we get up to 3%, but of course that would be a 50% advance in terms of the yield from where we are right now. But what we are looking at is that the very possibility that the momentum on which US government bonds and government bonds in Europe and just about any developed market have been relying upon is about to be removed. Well, that momentum trade has fueled a lot of profits for a lot of people, and the complacency in the market is at really quite high levels. But if that momentum is withdrawn, then the potential for not just a short-term peak, but a medium-term peak to form in government bond prices and lows to have been put in already in terms of the yield is increasing really by the day. And gold today was really quite volatile. In early trading, it was as high as $1,414 and as low as $1,354. It's closing out the day down 9.5 and at about $1,366. And this is quite volatile action. But what we have not seen is a fresh bout of short covering that we might have expected considering the size of the upward dynamic that we saw on Monday. And it suggests that there is really a war going on between supply and demand for gold. And another upward dynamic similar to that seen on Monday will be required really to turn the tide in favor of the demand component. And in the absence of that, then the downside will remain the most likely scenario. And in the energy markets, oil has been quite firm over the last number of weeks and is now encountering resistance at the upper side of its range. And West Texas Intermediate was down by almost $2. And Brent crude was not as weak, but it was also down in here today. And that's also from a region of previous resistance. And the bright spot was in the industrial metals, because if people are starting to think about a potentially more benign outcome in terms of the economic environment, then that could potentially be a tailwind for the industrial complex. And it does further raise the possibility that we're in for a bit of a rotation in here. And the markets that have done so remarkably well are less likely to perform if we move into a reversionary type phase, whereas those that have been so very weak and now have evidence of some base formation have the capacity to outperform in this environment. And the fact that the industrial metals were all in positive territory today, even though most other risk assets were not, does suggest that that may be starting to unfold. And when we look at the currency markets, the yen was a weaker in here today, and weaker by about a half a yen against the dollar, but not as weak as it had been. And the dollar had been up to 103.74 and closed out the day at 103.03. The yen still remains within this reasonably consistent decline against the dollar, and a break in the progression of lower rally highs for the yen would be required to question that. And both the euro and the pound were weaker against the dollar, and the Australian dollar moved to a new reaction low, and it's down to below 97 cents and it's closing in on the lows that were posted late last year. And considering that, it did not bounce from the current area and is closing in now on the 96 area. What we need is an upward dynamic to suggest that support is being found in this region. When we look at the consistency of the Aussie dollar over the last 4 and 5 years, it had a spectacular rally from the 2008 lows and got up to 110. And that 110 area looks like a line in the sand for the RBA, and it's unlikely that they're going to allow the dollar, the Aussie dollar, to get very much above it. But the question is now, as we are at the lower side of this range, and a lengthy consolidation like this is seldom a reliable continuation pattern. So the best case scenario is that we get a bounce from the lower side of this range. And if we do not get a bounce, then the potential for a completed Type 3 top can't be discounted from the way that the prices have been performing of late. And if we look at a number of the emerging markets, if Wall Street has moved into a corrective phase, and we will not have, I suppose I should reiterate that we will not have confirmation of that until we see follow through on today's downside key reversal and a break in the progression of higher reaction lows that have been evident for the last few months. But assuming that we could potentially be moving into a scenario where the S&P pulls back towards its 200-day moving average, well, that would also act as a headwind for some of the better performing emerging markets. And when we also see there that there is a number of overbought conditions relative to the 200-day moving average, then the potential is that we are going to see some form of unwind in here. And considering just how persistent and how complacent a large number of people have been, the odds really are in favor that we are moving into more of a reversionary phase. So I'm wondering, is this going to be a rerun of what we had last year, in that the first half of the year was really very firm indeed, and then the summer months were rather difficult, and we went through this lengthy volatile range before things started to pick up again in the autumn? And that is conjecture at present, and we don't have any evidence to support it, and we won't have until that progression of higher reaction lows is eventually broken. So we're living it very much in an interesting period of time. But what does look like the more risk-adjusted way of engaging with markets at present would be to favor those sectors that have been out of favor for such what feels like really quite a long time, and to take profits, or at least lighten positions, where we see that there are prices that are really quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages on the upside, and not least where we're seeing that key day reversals are evident. And perhaps also important is the fact that the banking sector in the US, which had broken out of an almost four-year base, also posted a downside key reversal in here, and does look like now that it is going to pull back towards the upper side of that base and the region of the 200-day moving average, and perhaps form a first step above the base. And we will, I guess, see what happens. And thank you very much for your time, and I wish all the best to all of you.